Welcome to the Advice Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, as always, Philip, and I want to wish everyone a happy new year. I hope you celebrate it with your family and friends and hope nobody got a DUI, because we don't want to be sitting in jail, because the cops are hot and heavy on the roads, and I just didn't want to have no problems with no police, so I made sure I just stayed myself at home. There's a lot of drunk drivers on the road. Anyway, so today's topic. Are women's expectations ruining their relationships? Now, there's a lot of people, male and female, have issues with sometimes, and a lot of times, women with their expectations. They want things out of a man that they don't present themselves. Some things they ask for are unrealistic, like demanding a man be at least 6 feet tall. We hear that a lot. I don't know what height has to do with anything, if this guy is a good person or not, but some women have that demand. Some women have the demand of he needs to make a lot of money, but yet these same women don't even have a job. They're not making the same amount of money themselves, but yet they want this. So a lot of times they get into relationships with these men, and yet they expect them to do a lot of things that they're not doing for themselves. And that has always became a problem in the relationship. So if you have been in a relationship where a woman, if you're a man, has asked you to do something that wasn't even humanly possible to do, then make sure tonight that you call in and let us know. Now, Ms. Gabriella, she's running a few seconds late tonight. But she'll be here as well. But what I'm trying to get to let you guys know, tonight is all about discussing what you've been dealing with in relationships. Like if your girl had asked anything out of you that just wasn't even humanly possible. I mean, is she not willing to work with you? I mean, why can't she meet with you in the middle and on the middle ground and help you be the better man that you need to be? You get what I'm saying? So, sorry, guys. Anyway, I got distracted there for a minute. So let us know what's going on. Let us know, because we definitely want to know tonight what you're dealing with in your relationships. Now, let me tell you what I've dealt with in a relationship, at least me on the guy's point of view. These women always want to come and tell you as a man what you should be doing or what you need to be doing, and yet they don't meet these expectations. That's what I never understood. And I want to cover the first part just for me as a man. What is it with the height? Dad, please explain that to me. What is it with the height? Why a man has to be tall? I mean, is this man going to treat you better because he's tall? I mean, is he going to make more money because he's tall? I mean, what is it? I'm trying to figure that part of it out, because most of these females say they want a tall man. That's why you have a lot of these dudes that have this complex about themselves, and I don't understand that. Now, Ms. Gabrielle, let me ask you a question. What is it about women saying they want a guy that's 6 feet tall?
It's a lot of times it has to do with that, it's a stereotype that if a man is tall and muscular, he's more fit to be a man, like he's stronger or he'll be a better provider. He'll be able to defend you if, like, if an intruder came in the house or something like that. Of course, that's not true because, you know, most of the boxers and professional fighters are actually short. So I don't know why people think that, but it just has to do with, it kind of goes back to that idea where, you know, if a man is like a certain height, it just means that he's like going to be, you know, more suited for being a man.
And see, due to this height requirement that I've noticed, you have a lot of dudes that have this little short guy Napoleon complex. They always trying to prove they're a man to everybody. I mean, the dudes with the biggest mouth and want to pop off the fastest is not some big 6'4" dude. It's always some dudes like about 5'4". You know, four. Always, you know, popping off at the mouth and want to do something. Because I think it's because of them women. I think it's because of them women. You know, they pick with them because they're not tall. they not meeting to their standards, so they got to try to make up with it some sort of way by acting like, you know, they bad. And I don't get that. Now, let me ask you another question, Ms. Gabriella. Why women who don't have a job expect a man to have money, like, just coming out of his pocket? Why do they expect that as well?
A lot of women, I don't really want to sound bad about this, but a lot of women, especially in the Black community, with that whole, the single mother thing, a lot of the time, because the mother wasn't successful herself, she'll go ahead and tell her daughter, like, okay, well, a man is supposed to have, you know, if you're going to look for a man, don't look for some deadbeat. You know, he has to be making six figures, and he has to have this, and he has to have that. But the funny thing is that a lot of these women that have these crazy expectations don't have anything themselves. But because of the fact that they were taught from an early age that they were supposed to, you know, be able to, you know, some man is going to be able to, like, sweep her off her feet, you know, kind of like that whole thing where it's like, oh, well, you know, every Black man that's successful should go, instead of going and dating someone in the white community, they should go back and, you know, go back to the hood and rescue a girl and try to make a better life for her. But realistically, there's no benefit for a man who is really successful to go ahead and date someone who is in a lower social class than he is. You know,
see,
not
you
saying.
See, now, not to interrupt you, Ms. Gabriella, I'm going to tell you the truth, because like I said, I'm not on YouTube, so I'm going to just tell the truth here, because I ain't got to worry about the problems. A lot of these women, and not to be vulgar, a lot of these women think their vajayjay is their ticket to everything, and it's not, because they got women giving that up every day. So why do they think they have to bring nothing but to the table but what's between their legs? Who told them that lie?
It's their mothers, again, usually, because then you'll have a lot of, I mean, I don't know, there's actually a lot of books out there that kind of preach this thing like, I really don't want to say this, but they'll say, like, oh, pussy is power and vagina power and things like that. And, you know, a lot of women think, okay, well, look at Kim Kardashian, look at all these different reality TV stars and a lot of people who are, you know, making it big and making all this money, all they had to do is just sleep with some type of celebrity and then all of a sudden, you know, they're now making more money than someone who went to college. So a lot of them think that that's all they have to do.
But see, a lot of the problem with them guys you just described, they are simps and they manginas at the same time. It's like, I don't care how fine the chick is, I'm not giving you my money. I don't care. See, and they stupid because them dudes you're talking about, they tricking off all their money. And they don't care about tricking off money to their females because they feel like, well, I got money, so I'm going to go ahead and give it up to this chick. Whatever, at least I got this bad chick on her own. Because, see, as men, we have that bad. And women don't get that about us as men. Our woman and what's on our arm is a definite reflection of us. So he who has the best-looking woman is one going to have the highest male ego pride. If you notice, when a man get more money, his woman goes up in looks. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about a pride thing for us as men. I mean, we are, because we as men are visual creatures. I mean, if you don't know that, that's what we are. That's why looks and all that other stuff with a woman is more important to us than her income level. As long as she look good and got a big booty, we fine. That's why women like Kim Kardashian can come up and be millionaire upon millionaire. Let's be real. Kim Kardashian came up on Ray J's dick. Let's just be real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just calling it what it is. But she can do that based on the way society, male, since it's a male-dominated society, a lot of women can do that.
But then, not to get it twisted, because a lot of women think, well, you know, I'm good looking. Whenever I go to the club, I turn heads. So if I do the same thing, it's going to work for me. The thing with Kim Kardashian and women like that is that they already had the money already. If it was just some regular groupie at the club, you know, or some groupie like that's going around sleeping with celebrities, for the most part, nothing happens. You know, the guy will sleep with them one day and then never call her again. And so a lot of women have to keep in mind that just because, you know, certain celebrities have come up on doing sex tapes and things like that, these people already had money before. They weren't as rich as they are now, but
I got a question then. Let me ask you one question. There's one chick I'm going to mention, Kat Stacks. Kat Stacks didn't come in here with a bunch of money, but yet she got with these dudes and with these rappers and got all over the place. So I can't really go on that all the way when you look at a chick like Kat Stacks. Kim, yeah, okay, we'll go with that argument. But a chick like Kat Stacks, no, she ain't had no money. She wasn't even a citizen of the United States. But so I know how dudes are. The chick got to be at the right place. She got to look the best and fool the right dude. And, of course, you know, since she's, you know, putting herself out there like a hoe, she got to take care of her business in that area. And, yeah, she'll get, you know, all she got to do is have a couple of photos with these dudes. And all these other dudes see, man, that chick fine. That's all it takes. Unfortunately, like I say, men are just pussy hounds. That's our biggest problem.
Yeah, someone's going to marry her. That's the thing.
Oh, no. We're not going to marry you. Well, unless we stupid like Ice-T, then we'll do that. But, no, we're not going to marry you.
Yeah.
You know, we'll sleep with you.
I mean, that kind of thing, the problem with that kind of going for that sort of, that type of goal, you know, trying to be like the, you know, trying to be the next superhead or something like that, going after something like that is so short-lived. Like, okay, maybe you might have maybe 1 year, 2 years of fame, but 20 years down the line, no one's going to care who you are, you know, and no man of quality is going to want to be with you. So, and then, you know, and then your whole image is tarnished. You know, you're going to be forever known, like, no matter what happens after you've gained that reputation. I don't care if you find the cure for cancer. Everybody's going to remember you as, you know, as Kat Stacks or as Superhead or as whoever else, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, that I agree with you.
At time, you know, okay, you might be making some money now, but it's very short-lived. And, you know, it's like it's a flash in the pan type thing. There's no point in doing that.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's, you know, and these females just keep doing it. They don't, you know, they say they're making risk, you know, altering their bodies and everything, but it goes back to what they're told, expectations. Well, you know, what a man, oh, get a man with money. So if they get a man with money, they even know the expectation of these guys is to look a certain way, i.e. all the booty models we have now, taking risks, not going to the doctor. Now, I know you know that chick Pebbles, the model. She just got put up on some murder charges for some botched booty injections that killed somebody. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so there you go. Now, all these chicks are getting all these, whatever they're injecting into their booty nowadays, just to be, you know, to attract some man, because you know how it is. You know, the bigger the booty, the more money you're going to make and the more guys you're going to attract. Well, mostly black men, because, you know, I'm sorry, I just don't see white men chasing that. I've seen white men say that's gross, you know, but of course the black men, they follow these women with their tongue dragging the ground, don't know how to act. You know, so it goes all back, you know, back to, like I said, expectations. Now, let me ask you another question. When it comes to, you know, why women ask men certain things on the level of expectations, why do they expect to be, some of them, to be hoes and expect to get a good guy at the end of the day? They have 4 or 5 kids from different guys, but yet they expect to get married. And everybody know them in town as a hoe. Why they want a good guy then? Where they get that from?
That goes back to what the parents and the, you know, what they've been taught at home. A lot of these ideas that women have is what their parents have taught them. Well, their mother, not their parents. Their mother has taught them. You know, they're like, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter what happens. You know, eventually you're going to find a good guy. All you have to do is, as long as you know how to cook and you know how to clean and you're decent looking and you know how to, you know, if you're really talented in the bedroom, any man was going to want you. And, you know, a lot of women don't realize that it takes more than that. They think that, you know, it goes back to that idea that, oh, you know, I'm a woman, so therefore, you know, I can use my outer appearance and I can use, you know, my feminine charm to win any guy over. And, you know, a lot of women think that that's all they have to do.
And what a lot of women don't realize is that they only have a small window to bag their guy. That's what they don't realize. Because, see, unfortunately, this is a true statement, but it's kind of harsh. They say men age like wine, women age like milk. It's the truth. Because they only have a certain amount of time to get a guy. And after that, age catches up with them, and you know how it goes with age. Even though in this day and time, women definitely, you know, take care of themselves a lot better, and a lot of older women I've seen look better than younger ones. But at the end of the day, age catch up with you, and you're not going to have a bunch of guys chasing you. You know, it just lets you a chick and just look good. Even if you're 50, you look good. You get what I'm saying? So, but when it comes to men, you know, a man in his 70s can, you know, get a woman even in her 20s. Because, see, we are judged on our success level. We're not judged on looks. That's why you can have a dude, that look like me, and I can have the baddest chick in the land, okay, long as I got some money. That's all that matters. Now, so with that said, is that the reason why women just have to go so crazy in what they want to do with their men? Do they realize that they are limited on time?
Well, the problem is a lot of women don't realize that. Okay, let's be frank here. I would say that after 26, it just gets harder and harder. And there's a lot of factors that go into that. It has to do with genetics because, number one, after you reach 30, the chances of having a child with birth defects or having a miscarriage and so many other complications go up dramatically, and it's a lot harder to get pregnant after you're 30. Two, you know, the time when a woman is at her best is in her, you know, anywhere from like 20 to 26. And you know, there's so much that plays into that. And a lot of, you know, and when men are going out looking for a wife to start a family with, you know, it goes back into, you know, the whole caveman thing where a man is going to look for, you know, the most fertile, the most youthful, the most healthy to go ahead and start a family with. That's just human nature.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these women think that, oh, well, I have all the time in the world. I'm young. I can go out and party and, you know, when I'm 25, I can settle down. I can still find a man when I'm 30. I still look good, you know. And by the time that they reach 30, they don't live the hard life, and they don't smoke too much, drink too much, have sex too much. And by that time, they probably have a couple of kids. And even if they don't have kids, because if they live too much of a wild lifestyle and they don't use their time wisely, because, you know, women, we don't have the same amount of time. You know, if they don't use their time wisely, that's it. Once you reach, if you're 30 and you're not married, it's really hard to find someone. I mean, you can find some people do get lucky, but some people end up, you know, they might have a forever boyfriend, but not a husband. And that's just the fact of the matter.
Well, I'm going to say with the 30 thing, because like I said, I'm 33 myself, so I can speak about those people. A woman can find somebody at 30. She just got to be, by the time you're 30, you can't get away with what a 20-year-old can get away with. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. You can't walk around here, at least in my opinion, talking about you broke and ain't got no money. And you can't pay no bills. Because, you know what I'm saying, you're 20, you're supposed to be in college trying to establish yourself. But by the time that you are 30, you should be establishing your career already. So that changes the game. Like 30, women 30 and up change the dynamic immediately because they got to come at a different level and a different level of maturity. The worst thing I can't stand is a woman that's 30 plus years old and act like she's 15 or act like she's 12. That annoys the hell out of me. And I would not talk to a woman like that at all. It's like she is so annoying. You get to understand what I'm saying? It's the same thing like a guy.
That's why I was saying that once you reach 30 is harder. Like what I was trying to say is that if you are 30 and you're not married yet, it's harder because there's so much more than a man is looking for at that point. Like if you're 20 and you don't have any education and you know, sometimes you get lucky. You don't have to have education. You don't really have to have much going for yourself. Some men will just be fine having a housewife if you're young and you're pretty. But if you're 30 You have to have a job, an education, a car, possibly a place to stay. You have to have been working for at least 5 years. You know, you have to have so much going for yourself. And then if you have kids and you're not married, that just makes it even harder. So there's a lot more at stake at that point.
Exactly. And, and like I said, I can't say all women because it's about men as well. It don't make no sense for a man that's 30-plus years old and always talking about he's jumping from job to job to job or staying at somebody's house or staying at this one house and that one house. And then you talking about getting in them women's face. You don't got no ride. You don't have nothing. Your phone is in everybody's name. It don't make no sense. So I always say that when you're 30 years old, the dynamic changes for male and female in the dating pool. Because usually by the time you're 30, most people, not all, most people have at least one child. So when you're dating a woman, usually you get a woman around 30 or more, she may have at least one. I didn't say she got three or four, but at least one. So you got to definitely consider that dynamic. Unless you get a woman that's like, say, 20 years old, you know, 21 or whatever, she never had kids, then, you know, you can do that. And some guys, they say my age, I'm 33, will go get a chick that's 20, 21 years old and wife one of them up. Like me personally, I never recommend that unless she is really mature, because when you just get her a regular 20-year-old, 21-year-old, you're going to run into a problem because she is a 20 years old and she haven't done some of the things that you have done yet. So you want to chill, watch Netflix, she want to be out in the club till, you know, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. You're like, man, I done that already. I ain't trying to do that crap. The I.E. will get people in trouble like Ice-T. You know what I'm saying? He's 50-something years old. He would have chicked my age. His chick still want to go out and do stuff. He want to chill and play Xbox because he done all the party and all that mess when he was her age. So it gets to a point that when you get a little older, you may have to get a chick that's older, and then it deals with some other things. As one person was talking about in the comments section, that a lot of the women, by the time they get over 30, have been hurt a lot with past mm-hmm. relationships. It has been done wrong, probably been ran through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
Well, I want to speak on that before we change the subject. With women, one of the things I've noticed is that the whole ran through thing, they don't learn their lesson the first time, and I don't understand why. Like, that's just something that just really bothers me, because every single female over the age of 20 has probably done something with a guy. Maybe even if you didn't even go all the way with him, you've probably done something with him. And then, you know, the next day he doesn't call you again, and that hurts. But I've seen women who will sit there and, you know, they're basically being insane. Well, they'll do the same thing, expecting a different result. It's like, oh, I met this guy at the club. We hit it off. You know, he took me out to eat afterwards. Then, you know, he took me to a hotel. We did all this stuff. And then the next day he doesn't call her. And then she'll get upset. And then she'll go out and do the same thing over and over and over again. And by doing that, that creates emotional baggage. And, you know, that's why a lot of women are running around with these little fake attitudes, because they've been hurt so many times. But a lot of these problems that they have are problems that they've created. Instead of being smart and learning from it, your mistake the first time, they sit there and repeat the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah, and you know, like they say, what the definition of insanity is to keep repeating the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a lot of, you know, they're a problem, you know. And same thing with men. Men do the exact same thing, too. They fool the same kind of females, have the same kind of results, and then they'd be like, man, I can't find no good woman out here. Like, what kind of woman you looking for? Half the time, you shooting for a chick, you probably shouldn't be shooting that. You passing up the girl that's wanting to actually have a discussion with you. She can discuss politics. She can discuss religion. She can discuss anything. You don't want to talk to her. You just want the chick that 2 Chainz singing about. You just want the big booty hoe. That's all you want. You don't want nothing else. You know, if this chick ain't got a big booty, you don't want to hear it. Well, you know, the chick that's going to be good for you may not have the booty like 2 Chainz talking about. You know, so that's when you become a mature man, when you realize, okay, it's more to a woman than her booty. She actually has feelings. She actually has thoughts. She is actually a person, not an object that I can have erotic pleasure with.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's the problem with a lot of guys. They don't mature in that area. And a lot of women play on guys' immaturity, knowing that, hey, they looking at me is a big booty with you. I'm going to play them. I'm going to take their money. I'm going to have them paying my rent. I'm going to have them paying my cell phone. And I don't really feel bad when women do it to them. Because you know what? They being tricks the whole time. So men is just as bad, too. And then some of them on this I hate black women kick, 9 times out of 10, it's the chicks you picked. I guarantee you, every dude that say, I hate these black females, I'll be like, show me every chick you dated. I guarantee you they all have the same thing in common. One way or another, they have the same thing in common. And now, since you picked about 7 messed up females, you picked them. They didn't pick you. Now you have a hatred for black women. Just like these females that say, I hate black men. Well, you pick dudes that's messed up. You get what I'm saying? But let me get to one call. Got a question. Erico 205. Erico 205. Got a question?
Yes, I do. I am a little older, and so I've kind of been through some things, and I've learned plenty. I was married for a very long time, and I'm new into the dating scene now. My question is this, and the question is about balance, because depending on who you talk to, you know, my preferences are I want someone that has himself together. He should have a car, his own place, kind of doing his own thing. But then on the other hand, oh, well, you know, he could just because he doesn't have himself together, that doesn't mean he's a great guy. And you're looking over these other guys and, you know, you're being selfish or you're being materialistic or you're, you know. And so what happens is, if I ask for something that's even halfway what I have of a guy, then it's almost as if it's too much. But then if I just say, look, just be a nice guy, then I end up with who knows what. But it's like no matter what I do, I'm wrong. And I feel like I can't win.
Okay, sister, can I ask you this question, sister?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, how old is the guy? Give me the age range of the guys that you possibly date.
Generally, give or take about 45, my age. I'm 44.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna say it nice. There's no way in the world that a 45-year-old man should not have a car, should not have a job, should not have his own place to stay. You are right to say you must have these things before you date me, you loser. I'm sorry, it don't make no sense for a man that old don't have nothing. So you're right to demand that. That is not wrong to say a man. That's basic necessities. What are you going to do with you?
You will be surprised. And I was surprised when I made that statement to someone and the comments that I've gotten back because of that and the heat that I've caught from other people that have made comments. They've said, which I don't even understand. I don't even understand, you know, and then as soon as you give someone, you say, okay, well, I'm going to try to work with this guy. Then the guy that does have himself together, oh, well, you know, see, she's getting with this guy, you know, and won't give us a chance. And then when you get with someone that maybe is more along the lines of what you want, the other guys, well, you know, I'm struggling here and I'm trying to have and you know, and I'm not even given a chance because I don't have. Because to me, just what you said earlier, once you get to a point when you're 30 and you're still out there and you haven't made any progress whatsoever, you know, the time for play is over. Life is short. You know, and the question becomes, at what point in time are you going to do something? How many years is it going to take for you to get your act together? And how many years am I supposed to sit around and wait for you to maybe do your thing? Because, I mean, guys, every day, and I think what guys and women need to understand is everybody is saying the same thing. The guy that's saying, work with me, you don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy. Every guy says, I'm different. So you really don't know. You have to find some way of figuring out if this person is legit or not. If this person is talking about their dreams, okay, well, what are you doing to work towards those? If you're talking about going to college and you don't even know where the nearest college is, you know, then how am I supposed to believe you? I want to believe you, but you don't even give me anything to grab onto.
You got a comment, Gabriella, before I go in on that comment?
Oh, yeah, I do, actually. I mean, really all I can say is
is that I could understand if it was somebody in my age range, okay? If it was anybody, you know, anywhere from 20 to 26, well, no, 20 to 24, that was saying things like that, okay. But if it was a man who is anywhere over the age of 35, it, all that dreaming and, you know, chasing goals and aspirations and all that should have been, that's over. You should have had your stuff together by then. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, I don't care what happened to you. You know, my stepfather was, he was raised in an African village, and he was able to come out of that, and now he's making six figures. So there is no excuse. You know what I mean? You can't sit there and say, oh, well, I had a hard life. Forget all that. You know, a grown man should have a certain, there's a lot of things that he should have by himself already. And if a man is going around saying, oh, woe is me, oh, you're not giving me a chance, oh, I can change. No, you already had that chance already. That, no, I've seen a lot of
especially if you're 45. That's my thing. You said 45. I'm like, you didn't say 25. You say 45.
Yeah.
I get so tired. I'm sorry. I've, you know, had a brother, whoever, I don't know, I think it's a brother, put in the comments here that unemployment among black men, in a sense, runs about 45%, no job, no car. I'm sorry. I don't believe that. Because I went my black behind down there to the day labor one time with all the Mexicans down there day laboring. And then I got a job working with them. Before I didn't have a job, I went to McDonald's and flipped hamburgers and went to the grocery store at night and stock groceries. Don't tell me you can't find a job. The fact of the matter is a lot of these dudes don't want to do it. They want it easy. And I work hard for everything I have. I can work with anybody. I don't care who you are. So there's no excuse. For me, I feel less than a man when I don't have a job. I don't like asking nobody to help me. That's
and
a big thing.
Another thing I wanted to add to the conversation is that as a woman, as you get older, yeah, you have the physical changes and all of that, but the dating pool shrinks. And so generally, when you start getting towards 40, guys physically slow down and they can't sexually do everything that they used to do, believe it or not, and they start settling down. And so if you mess around and get divorced in your 40s, any guy that's serious, he will have found someone he can work with, and he's settling down. So now at this point, I've been single now for, it'll be 3 years in March, and I'm sitting here, any guy that I would really want to be with is with someone now. Any man that I meet that's around 45 or 50 and he's never been married, you know, he either has no children or children everywhere, or there's a reason that he's never been married. There's a reason he's never been in a serious relationship. And these are like guys that I don't even want to have a conversation with. And even those guys, of course, give me a hard time. But it just amazes me the way that things are out here. And, I mean, I tell you, I mean, I know, and I feel the same exact way about a woman. If you have a woman that's 45 and 50 and she's never been in a significant relationship, there's a reason. Nobody wanted to stay around long enough. They didn't find them worthy just to be around them and try to make something work long enough.
And that's a problem. They don't, you know, a lot of, that's why I investigate P-Pass. I ask them, they say, you know, I was dating. I say, hey, how did your last relationship end? You know, but I don't ask them all in one day to make them be like, dog, this dude's intruding all my crap. No, I ask them, you know, then I say, okay, what about the relationship before that? I mean, I spread out these questions with time because I want to find out how these relationships ended and what you got to say about it. What's your reaction? Are you apprehensive when I ask you this question? Because I need to know, because maybe you're not the relationship type. Some people are not the relationship type.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just wanted to play with people and you know, just have somebody around. But, you know, sister, I definitely appreciate, you know, do we ask any of your questions? Because I got another call on the line. And
So basically I'm on the right path, I think. So
yeah, you're on the right. Look, basic requirement, I tell anybody, male and female, if you want to date me, you must A, have a job, B, have a place to stay, C, have your own car. Let's start there. If we can't do that, then why should we even bother? I mean, come on. You 45 years old, don't have that. I don't listen to those excuses. I don't. Because they got people that doggone it, coming to this country illegally and working, do things for themselves, and they get all kind of stuff I see them get. So they do it. All these other foreigners come here and do it. We American citizens, we still don't do it. I just don't want to hear it. You know, and I see brothers work hard and do this all the time. brothers do it all the time. And it, and I see some people talking about, you know, unemployment and stuff like that and coming out of single parent home. I came out of a single parent home. My mother and father got divorced when I was 8. So I don't know what to tell you about that one. But, sister, I appreciate you coming into the show. I'm going to take the next caller. I'm just going to put you on mute. I mean, you hang up, then, you know, but I can bring you back in later. Okay, but thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, California, 323. What's up?
Hey, now, this is Jay. How you doing? Good to talk to you again.
Oh, good talking to you, brother.
You know, I'm going
to
say this. And a lot of women will get offended by what I'm going to say. If you're older than 4 years old and you complain that there's no men here, there's no men, this and that, that's got a job, same thing for men. Birds of a feather flock together. So whatever you are attracting is what you deserve. We got too many women who want to be mothers who are, for some reason, they attract people who are needy. And why? Because their personalities are too weak. They don't have enough confidence in themselves. They don't have enough self-love. So they look for someone else to love and then complain about what they get. Instead of looking for men, they looking for niggas. If you look for a nigga, you're going to find a nigga. You look for a man, you're going to find a man. But if you limit yourself to what you see and settle, well, then you're going to get what you settle for.
Okay, Gabriella, you got any want to add to that?
I mean, I agree with what you're saying, because too many times, I mean, a lot of women, I had a friend that was did the same thing, like, she just kept attracting the wrong kind of men. And, you know, over time, I just kept trying to tell her, there's something in you that needs to change. There's something
right.
about your personality that's attracting men who will run around and sleep around on you, who are going to use you and treat you like garbage. You know, one thing I've noticed is that a lot of women will sit there and they'll have, like, these mother-child relationships with these guys where, you know, it'll be a woman who will settle for a no-good man, you know, she'll let the guy be staying in her house, eat her food, use her car,
right.
you know, be doing all this stuff, and he doesn't have any responsibilities. All he has to do is get to bed with her and, you know, cuddle up to her every now and then, and she's, you know, she's satisfied with it, but then all the while, that same woman is in my ear, you know, complaining that, she, you know, that her relationship isn't working.
And
so... And
see, I heard what you said earlier about pussy power. There's some truth
mm-hmm.
to that.
Women oh, yeah,
do
truth
hold a power. Women hold a power, but the misuse of it has distorted the whole views of it. The power was supposed to be from being a good mother and a good wife and an assistant, but the power has been all distorted because most of these women and men are growing up in houses with whores that happen to be their mother. And
Amen.
Plain and simple, if you are growing up with a whore that happens to be your mother, you're going to get some messed up values. You're going to grow up to disrespect and dislike and have no true love for women if you're a man. And if you're a woman, you'll never learn how to be a woman.
Uh-huh.
Nah, this is the thing. I want to add to that. Half of these dudes that have issues, like I'm going to talk about the black community, half of these dudes that have a deep-seating hatred for black women, 9 times out of 10, it came from their mother.
Yeah.
And when they dated these females, they just kind of reminded them of their mother and it added to it. Hence why you have the creation of people online, that's all they do is talk about black women because they have mother issues because their mother
yeah.
was someone with some whores, bringing all these strange
well,
men into the house.
White men who grew up with whores as mothers turn out to be serial killers that kill prostitutes, that pick women up off the streets and kill them and dismember them. Black men who grew up in houses with whores, they grow up to throw dollars at whores on stages to say, hey, I'd rather pay for the pussy than start a relationship with this girl because she's most likely isn't worth me even giving her any more time than this half an hour to an hour we going to hook up at the motel because she's probably no more better than my mother. And that's pretty much what they say in subliminally. Because if you have no better example than your mother, and your mother was a two-bit whore, and every dude in the neighborhood was your quote-unquote uncle, you have no respect for women.
And why should you? Because the first woman in your life you didn't have respect for. That's usually where it comes from. How you look at your mother is how you're going to treat women, period. It's usually how it goes. And back in the day, mothers used to be, you know, the top of a black man's eye is his mother. Always his mother. And now the brothers, you know, got mothers that's just twerk teaming online. I mean, you can look at pictures where they have these females posing with their child in the background. I don't know if you saw this one picture. I mean, she half naked and her little boy is sitting right there.
Yeah.
This is what these children see, and then they grow up and they have a hatred. You know, for, like I say, if they're black women. They have a hatred for them because they reminds them, anytime they see some old horror types, it reminds them of their mother. And that's a lot of them why they even just leave the community and don't even date black women. I mean, I understand, you know, some of it, where it comes from. I do. And then a lot of sisters are stuck out and they're like, well, why dudes are doing this sort of thing? It has nothing to do with the chicks that he was actually dating. A lot of it, he has a mama problem. And if him and his mother would go see a psychologist and talk this stuff out, it actually helped heal him because he's miserable. Trust me, he's miserable. To walk around and have a hatred for anybody is a cancer. I'm telling you, eats you up inside. You know what I'm saying?
The worst hatred of all is self-hatred. And I feel more women suffer from self-hatred than men. Well, I won't say suffer, but react to it. I don't think men are conscious of their self-hatred. They so busy reflecting it on each other. But women beat themselves up by continuously, like you said, you have friends, Gabriella, that do this over and over again. He is so nice. I fell in love at first sight. We had sex, and now he changed his number. Or I ran into him 2 weeks later at the mall with his wife and kids. I mean, they keep hurting themselves. Because they don't love themselves. They can't be alone because they don't love who they're alone with. If you can love yourself and you satisfy being alone, you will find the right man for you because you won't be out there looking for a man. If you look for a penny on the ground, you're going to find a penny. But if you keep working hard, you eventually find success.
Well, with that said, let me see if I can bring this sister back in. I got a question for her. Hey, sister from 205, you still on the show?
Yes, I am.
I got a question for you because I'm sitting here listening to everybody talk. These guys that you're dating, what is the common denominator with them? I mean, like, what is it you look for in a man? I'm curious enough.
Oh, well, no. These aren't necessarily guys that I date. These are, for instance, if I'm somewhere and I end up, somebody approaches me or... And I've run across guys, and as a matter of fact, I haven't dated any of those guys, to be honest with you. So, I mean, it's not that these are men
okay, you haven't dated those guys. Okay, what kind of... Well, the question I'm asking, what kind of men, like, I mean, when you choose somebody, what kind of men are you attracted to? Somebody say, oh, I want to date this guy. I mean, because I'm just curious to know.
Honestly, somebody that I can connect with, that we can really have a good conversation with. And it just naturally flows. It's not something I have to work at. It's not something that I have to try not to be bored. I don't want to have to try. If I'm pushing it and forcing something, then it's just not, it doesn't click.
What do you mean by bored? Explain that to me.
We have things in common. We have, you know, let's say, for instance, I'm asking him a question about himself or if I have to pull a conversation out of him, then that lets me know, okay, well, maybe, you know, he's not that interested in me, or maybe we just don't have that thing.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that. Most of the time, and women need to realize that, if we're not too talkative sometimes,
yeah.
A lot of times we not interested. Sometimes that's usually what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, dog, I mean, you look good and everything, but dog, we trying to find something, you know, in it. You know what I'm saying? With the woman. But okay, so you said that you look for a guy that he has to have, y'all have to connect in some way, form, or fashion.
Right.
Okay. And you had to have a conversation. And what else? What is it that you look for?
Other than, you know, the fact that he does need to have his own place, a car and a job, and be self-sufficient. That's really about it. But he definitely needs to be clean. I have a thing about that. But outside of that, that's really about it.
Okay, so that's all he got to have is a job. He got to have maybe to conversate and connect. That's all a guy needs to do is to date you?
That for a beginning, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of other miscellaneous things that I would say systems would need to be in line and things like that for it to go further. But just for a start, that's where it needs to be.
Okay, so it's reasons I'm asking questions. I'm going to get to a point. So what belief system does he have to be?
What does he specifically have to be?
Yeah. You said that y'all have to have, you know, about beliefs. I mean, because beliefs is important. So what is it that...
Right, I'm simply saying there are quite a few things. For instance, I don't want to have more children. If he wants to have more children, I know that that's going to be a problem. I believe in God. I would have a hard time being in a long-term committed relationship with someone that did not believe in God. I believe in monogamy. I would want to be with someone that believes or intends to have a monogamous relationship with me. These are things that I don't know if other people specifically spell out, but I know for me that I would need someone that could be that way. I would want somebody dependable. I would want someone honest. I would want someone that I don't feel afraid of. I don't want someone that's going to be abusive. Just in general, things along those lines.
Okay.
But
now
those
are
things you kind of have to learn. You can't ask.
Well, no, sister. That's why I got to stop you. Men, let me tell you about men. Men don't do all this trying to figure you out. We don't work good on that. That's more so a women thing. You got to tell, we are black and white. This is with men. And I say women are great. Women are the gray area. Mm-hmm. What if, what this, what that. We are, it's this, it's that. And as men, you got to be straightforward with us. I think that's a lot of the problem. A lot of these women don't tell men up front what they want. They say, it'll take time, or he'll do this, or he'll do that.
I'm not saying not to ask questions, but what I am saying is this. If I'm talking to a guy, and let's say I tell him I like to hike, then if he likes me, all of a sudden he likes to hike. Or if earlier on, he's going to tell me what I want to hear depending on what his plan is for me. And so you kind of have to take some of those things with a grain of salt, because if he's just telling me what I want to hear, then later on I find out this person that said he liked to cook and it cooked or that cleaned up all the time, you know, later on you find out, well, wait a minute, you know, this place is a wreck. What happened to this neat guy that, you know, that I met, you know, a month ago? And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that you can't have those conversations. I'm just saying that some things you kind of have to learn about a person, and they may not necessarily even realize it about themselves.
Well, I agree with you about the clean house. I remember one time this female invited me to her house. I went to her house, and I seen that woman's house. I said, oh, Lord, no. Look at this woman's house. Because, you know, not to be vulgar, but I'm like, if this chick can't keep her house clean, I wonder what else she ain't cleaning in her personal hygiene. I said, no, that's okay. No. I'm funny. I'm just funny like that.
People will clean up for you when they know you're coming. They will clean the house up when they're trying. They will do everything they can to impress you. But then when the newness wears off a little bit, then you can see, okay, this is what I'm really getting.
Yeah, the newness wear off in about 60 to 90 days. At the most, give it 6 months, and you'll really see them. That's why I tell people, get in about 6 months, and they show they behind, usually.
Exactly.
That's the perfect time.
And that takes me back to what I said about being secure in yourself. If you can be secure in being abstinent for a certain period of time, if you can be secure in not having someone laying next to you in the bed for a certain period of time, you can avoid a lot, and I'm saying anybody, can avoid a lot of stress, drama, and pain by allowing more time to get to know these people before they invite them into their home, before they introduce them to their kids. And,
I got a lot to say about that. Yeah, before I get to Gabrielle, you got anything to say before I get into my point about what he just said?
Well, I was going to.
No, Gabrielle, that's what I'm speaking to.
Actually, I do. I totally agree with what he was saying. A lot of people, I mean, that's why I'm a firm believer in, you know, really getting to know someone before you invest in any type of, you know, physical contact with them. You know, I know that some people are just, they're just, you know, their hormones are raging and they just got to have it. But I strongly suggest that you would at least wait a month, you know, a month minimum before you even consider, even if you're not even going to go all the way with that person, at least consider, you know, really taking your time to get to know someone, because a lot of the times some person might seem cool for a week and then the next week they start pulling some old crazy stuff. And, you know, you already done slept with them, and then now this girl is over here thinking she's your girlfriend, and she's going to come around and slash your tires and stuff, and she, you know, because she saw you talking to somebody else.
But you know what, Gabrielle, I'm glad you brought that up, because, see, a lot of dudes, and this get them in trouble. They play games with these women. They tell them what they want to hear a lot. Oh, yeah, you know, yeah, we talking and this and that and the third, just because he want to get up in her pants. And then he get it, then he dip, and then, like you said, she come up putting bologna on his car and slashing his tie.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
And that's because
that's why
emotional contact.
But that's
it's
why
a
I tell...
deep emotional contact.
Hold on,
I'm
brother.
Sorry.
That's why I tell dudes, tell these females up front what you want. Don't lie. I say, no matter what your situation is, don't lie. Say, I'm single, I'm married. I got a girlfriend, whatever. Hey, I don't really want to be in a relationship, but you want to have sex, we can be friends with benefits. That way you don't lie. That way if you have sex with a chick, she can't come slash your ties. Because you 9 times out of 10, when a chick do that, you made her think y'all was in some sort of relationship, and you were playing her. It always come back to lies. So I tell dudes, if any man listening right now, don't lie to these females. I'm telling you, you can tell a female straight up, look, I don't want a relationship, I just want to have sex. You cool? They got females to say the same thing. Oh, I'm cool with that. Shoot, I don't want a relationship either. We can stay friends. So, I mean, just don't lie. I mean, do you agree, sister, at 205?
Yes, I do, absolutely. Because every woman out there is not looking necessarily for a husband.
They're not.
You know, contrary to popular belief, a lot of guys have this idea that all women are just, you know, trying to trap some man, and that's not necessarily true, especially older women that have been there, done that, had the 20-year marriage, and now they finally raised their kids, and they're done, and they're single for the first time in a long time. The last thing they want to do is, you know, sign up to wash somebody else's clothes and clean up behind somebody else again. So basically,
you're saying even older women want cutty buddies.
I mean, it's easier. If you already have your house, you got your stuff, you want some company every now and then, you know, rather than arguing with somebody over the bills. I mean, I'm going to tell you. I don't know if y'all have been married or not, but
I'm going to tell you. The first time I was married almost 10 years, and then I'm married now. So, you know, the only reason I'm not married to that situation as before, because she did something foul, had to get rid of that girl. Anyway, I'm married.
But
no.
dating and marriage are very different. And just
yes,
because
it
you
is.
Can date someone does not mean you can be married to that person.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
So
marriage
when
is a totally different enchilada.
Your house.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I found out, you know, like a person, like that's why, you know what, I was totally against this at one point in time in my life. I was totally against this about living with somebody.
Yeah.
But I think, when you get to a certain point, let's say you get to a certain point, I think you need to live with each other at least 6 months. Because that way, when you live with a woman, you really got to see how she is. She can always fake with you every time you go out. She can always look a certain way, do whatever. But you need to see her when she's aggravated. I always tell a dude, you don't know a chick till she get mad at you. That's when you know her. See, see what she's capable of. You know what I'm saying? You need to see how she handle her bills. You need to see how she keep her house. You need to see if she, y'all can work together. You know, cause,
yeah,
cause
she has good credit.
Well,
people credit
have credit
can ruin a relationship. Credit can ruin a relationship.
But you can't say that because people have issues. Like, for instance, I went through a divorce. I was paying my house note every month like I was supposed to pay my house note. I couldn't get my house due to the divorce. She got it. She lost it. Now I got debt on my credit. It's going to clear off in so many years. I don't care. I can care less about that. So you can't really say that about credit because the way this world works is money. You got money, you can get what you want. So, you know, and anybody's willing to work with you and they see you do good. Okay? So I can't go with that. I mean, now if somebody just screwing up their credit for some reason, then no. But if a woman get with a woman and she say, look, you know, I went through this situation, this happened to me, whatever, you got to take everything case by case basis. You can't do life with a broad stroke brush. You can't do that.
Right.
Or just, you can't say, I don't want a single mother. You can't say that because you don't know the situation why this woman is a single mother either. What if she was in, let's say she was married to the guy. The guy dogged her out, cheated on her and everything. Now she's by herself with these kids. You can't just say she's just there she go, them old single mothers. No. You got to find out the situation. That's why those videos that's on the internet is dangerous to broad stroke brush anybody because every situation is different. You know, Gabrielle,
and every baby daddy's not ignorant. There are some relationships. I know my brother, he's in a situation where, you know, his wife is remarried. His ex-wife is remarried. And the whole group of people get along together, the new wives, the new husbands, the old wife, the old husband. Some people can't handle that, you know. So you can't say, oh, she got a baby, I can't talk to her. But, you know, you do have to be cautious of those certain type of things.
No, Gabrielle, you got anything to add to that?
Well, I mean, I don't want to go back on the old topic. I personally don't want to live with someone before I'm married. That's just my personal stance. You know, you got to do what works for you, fine, cool, whatever. But then with the whole, you know, painting people with a broad stroke brush and things like that, what I do personally is I actually just get to know someone on a friendship level. I just say, okay, let's be friends and see where it goes. And a lot of the time, like, I don't even do these little, I don't even do interviews and ask people questions like that because what I like to do is just hang out with somebody as a friend. And a lot of the times, like, once you get someone comfortable, they'll start opening up and they'll start telling you little things about themselves. And so you don't even have to waste your time, like, giving interviews because eventually their true personality will come out and what they believe in, what they don't believe in. Like, if you start, you know, if you guys are just hanging out, and then all of a sudden you guys are friends, you know, they're going to start confiding you about different things and say, okay, well, I have this problem with my money and, you know, I have this problem with, you know, and I back in my, you know, when I was younger, I used to be a player or, you know, they'll say all these things. And that, so a lot of the times it's easier to just weed people out that way, you know, instead of actually.
I agree.
Well,
and that goes back to being patient. Being patient and allowing time and not rushing into things and being satisfied with who you are and not just jumping into the first man's pants or woman's bed, you know, that you get with.
Now, one thing I was going to ask about that, and I don't know if that if that actually works for y'all, and I'm not saying that it doesn't work because it does. I think that if you can have someone that you have known as a friend beforehand, that is the perfect situation because you can even see them date other people. However, to meet someone that has the goal of getting with you that you never knew before and then say, now we're going to be friends, is kind of, it seems, that kind of thing that has never really worked. I've never seen it work in that order. Usually we go to the same function. We're in the same group and we're at the same bowling alley and you simply become friends. And then if you can be friends without the idea that that person wanted to get with you initially, then you can progress. But to meet someone and say, yeah, I want to get, and yeah, well, let's just be friends. That, I don't, has, does it, can it work that way? Does it ever really go that direction?
Well, hold on, brother. I'm going to tell you how every situation with me, like any woman I've ever dated, I had to be friends with her first because I'm not. I can't go into a situation. I just want to date this chick, get her number, and start being her boyfriend. That's just not going to work. I need to be your friend. I need to know if you're cool.
But how long were y'all friends, quote unquote? How long were y'all friends before you became a couple?
It depends. Okay, well, let me see. Well, my wife, well, we hit it off too quick. So we was friends about, I say that talking every day as friends, just about a month before we even decided to start even getting to that route. But we clicked so well. Usually it don't take me that quick. Or somebody I dated before her, I was talking with her about 3 months as a friend. I didn't ask her where she was going. I didn't ask her who she was talking to. I don't care. I'm your friend. And when somebody's my friend, I do not sleep with you either. Because if you weren't friends, I don't want to possibly date. I definitely don't even go that route with you. But if you want to be you're just a friend, but hey, we can do our thing, then that's no chick I'm going to date. You know, because I got to give that relationship that kind of respect that I want to get to know you, not know you physically. Because once a man know you physically, it alters his particular judgment of a woman. Because if she could, like, not to be rude, if she could throw that thing on you pretty well, it'll cloud your judgment. And you want to be with her just because she can throw that thing on you real well and have you Spider-Man-ing up the wall. I know how it goes. Okay? So in order for me to get to know you, I don't want to touch you. Period. I don't even want to go ahead and ride with you. I just want to just go out, talk, you know, man, you know, shoot, go to the movies, shoot, go feed the ducks at the duck pond or something. You know, I don't know. You know, just simple stuff. You know, you need a ride, you need to do this, you need to do that. Cool. You know, but yeah, be friends first. That's, I agree with that. Friends is fine. You know.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't want to do that, though. Like, well, in my experience, I mean, I've basically been dating since March of last year. Like, I haven't been in a relationship since then because I really like to get to know the person for at least a year. And all at the same time, I talk to more than one person because as far as I'm concerned, I'm single. I'm not, you know, I go in every single guy that I talk to, I say, okay, look, we could be friends first. I want to get to know you, and we'll see where it goes from there, you know. I don't make any type of commitment. It's like, just like, you know, Phil said, I don't just sit there and meet somebody out somewhere. I'm not in high school. I don't meet somebody and say, oh, well, you're cute. Can I have your number? Okay, we talked for 2 weeks. Okay, now you're my girlfriend. It doesn't work that way. You know, we have to really get to know each other for a long time. I need to, you know, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm a tomboy, so all that little romantic stuff doesn't apply to me. Or does it, you know, appeal to me, all that, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to love you, I'm going to hold you, I'm going to do this. That doesn't appeal to me. For me, you know, an ideal night would be we could sit there and watch the wrestling match or something. I would be okay with that. That's, you know, that's more fun to me than wasting money on a date, but that's just my preference. You know, another thing is that, you know, when you talk to more than one person as just friends, it's easier to, over time, like, eliminate a lot of people. Because, well, number one, you're not hung up over one person. Because you're not over there focusing on, okay, I'm trying to get with this person, I just want this to work, blah, blah, blah. You just kind of just keep saying, okay, this is my friend. And sometimes friends just fall apart, and it doesn't hurt as bad as when a romantic relationship falls apart. And so, you know, if you have, you know, just a lot of people that you're just hanging out with, these are your friends, these are your buddies or whatever, you know, sometimes they might lose interest and go see somebody else. Or, you know, there's just certain parts of their personality that'll come out and you'll say, I don't think we can do this long term, you know. But if you go into, if you meet someone with the intention that, okay, we clicked real well, you know, we had one conversation and we clicked real well, okay, automatically this is going to be the one for me, I'm going to pursue them, it's going to fall apart, it's going to fall flat in your face. It's just usually that's how it works.
Yeah.
Okay, and, you know, like I said, I just like to get some know somebody personally because when somebody, like you said before, they're your friend, then you're not trying to get at nobody. You're not trying to be fake because, like, the time when you're trying to get at somebody, you're being fake about something, and even the female being fake about stuff. So you're somebody's friend, they just like, oh, forget it, whatever. I just let it all hang out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And see, I guess that's my thing because, to me, if we're trying to become friends, to me, a month is not being friends. I'm thinking, okay, I've known this person a year or two. And
right,
so,
right.
And so if we're friends, then the idea of even the conversation about romance or anything is not even going to be, it's not, we're really getting to know each other and we're just, you know, chit-chatting, we're really friends. And I mean, that's not, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting to know. To me, if you meet someone, you want to get to know them, that's getting to know them. And then, you know, but I think of friends as a long process, a longer process. That's, I think that's what I was kind of thinking about when I asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. I guess it may be just me, but I usually read people pretty quick. It don't take long. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't need to be friends with you a year to find out if I want to date you or go down with you or not. I can find out pretty quick just by questioning you certain ways in conversations, you know. But I'm an analytical person too.
And you're
so
right.
So I guess where it comes from.
It depends on the person. You know, that's the thing. Because some people are really able to, you know, who are able to just read people like really quickly, and they can figure out all these things about someone just based on certain questions that they ask. But there's other people that don't have that ability, and so it might take longer. You know, what might work for Phil, which is, you know, talking to somebody for a certain amount of months, you know, it takes me a lot longer because there's a lot of things that I have to play in, like that kind of tie into my standards, like, okay, we're friends, but friendship means more than, okay, we hang out, we laugh, we joke, we have fun. It's more like, you know, can I rely on you? Are you really there for me?
Right.
You know, like, it's more than just, oh, you're funny. It's more like, if I'm having a really hard day and I need someone to talk to you, are you going to be there for me? Am I going to be able to pick up the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning and be able to call on you for help? Well, I don't do that, but you know what I mean.
How many of y'all have friends that you met like that that truly are still friends? How many people in your life do you have in your life right now that you are, well, hey, we were going to date and it just didn't work out, but we're still friends?
Well, that's what happened with me, I'll tell you that. Because when I met my wife 13 years ago, I was ignorant and immature. And I wanted to talk to her, but I told her pretty much, I literally said these stupid words. I told her I was a pimp and I had whores and I wanted to make her one of mine. And she checked me very badly and, like, pretty much told me, you know, that's not what I'm looking for. That's not what you are. You may think that's what you are, but, you know, and she let me do my thing. I would contact, you know, we went about 3 years. I would just, every now and then I would have issues. She would be the one that would be there for me, have some good advice for me. I had some personal issues, she was there for me to lean on. And as I grew up, then it became a position where I guess she felt I was able to talk to her based on my maturity. And that's when we started talking. And we've been married for 10 years. But I've known her for 13, and she just kind of watched me from a distance. And she told me that she knew when she met me that she wanted to marry me, but she wanted to let me grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and a lot of times, well, like I said, I'm going to keep this order. I'm going to do something different. Okay, Gabriella, you go ahead and say what you're going to say.
A lot of the times, like, I think that what your wife did was very smart. You know, a lot of the times women will sit there and they think that, okay, well, I'll just marry him and then he'll change. They don't want to sit there and say, okay, well, you know, this guy, I like him, and I really want to be with him. I have a feeling that we're meant to be, but they don't want to take a step back and let the man grow up on his own. You know, they think that, okay, well, if I hold his hand through this, you know, they're going to be able to change him, and it doesn't work like that. You know, a lot of people, a person is not going to change unless they want to, you know. And it all has to do with you, like the things that you're doing in your life. Like if you're a person that, you know, you have this guy that's pursuing you, but you're like, I don't think he's mature enough. If you just say, okay, you know what, let me just keep this guy as a friend. You know, if he needs me, I'll be there for him. But right now I'm going to focus on developing myself, you know, and wait for him to catch up. And if he doesn't catch up, fine, I'll find somebody else. You know, women will just sit there and just kind of just pick somebody up and be like, oh, well, you know, I'll hold his hand along the way. I'll fix him. And it doesn't work like that. You know, once a man is married, he's like, I'm not going to change. I've already got her. She doesn't want anything more than what I'm doing, so I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it depends. Now, see, it depends on this. Every situation is different because, like, when it comes to my wife, she haven't changed a bit. She hasn't done anything. She, the way I met her, the way she acted, she's gotten better than what she was before after I married her. So I can't really say that. And what, you know what, that's how it's supposed to be. You don't supposed to like go down. Like whatever you did to get somebody, you need to keep doing it to keep them, whatever it may be. So when it comes to your physical appearance, when it comes to what you did, everything, you need to keep doing that. I don't know why people think, oh, I got that, I got my man now, or the dude, like I got my female now, so I'm going to fall off. Why are you going to fall off? Because you fall off, you can lose them as much as you got them, too. Trust me. People are like water in your hand. Trust me. They are. You better hold on to that water tight, because they go out as soon as you open your hands.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. Like your prime example. Like, yeah, prime example. The biggest thing will get a lot of men in trouble with their woman is not talking to them, not listening to them, not spending time with them. Then you wonder why she's talking to some dude at work. Boy, she's talking to you. Same thing with women. For, you know, women, a lot of times, they get their man. They, you know, like if a guy met you a certain way, stay there. Don't get too much more than that. You can go less, but stay there. Now, some women, I'm sorry, that's be rude. Some women want to start gaining a lot of weight. They don't want to take care of their hair. They don't want to put on the makeup no more. At first, when you did all that stuff to get us, now you got us, and you don't want to do it no more. Or you were doing all this stuff in the bedroom before. Now you're with me. You barely want to give me anything. Now you wonder why a guy cheat with two different types of women. If he's cheating with the ugly chick is usually doing something in the bedroom that you're not. And if he's cheating with the pretty chick, 9 times out of 10, you're not fixing yourself up. Because usually the pretty chick is actually not the best one in bed. It's usually the ugly chick. Because she's making up for what she don't have in looks in the bedroom. Am I lying?
Not at all.
Okay, there we go. Y'all ladies are 411 on why guys cheat.
Oh, man, I like hearing this from that perspective. It's actually pretty funny. But it's true. I've seen it happen time and time again. So, I mean, that's one thing that a lot of, like, I think I can't stress it enough that women really do need to keep themselves up. You know, just because you get a certain age doesn't mean that you kind of just say, oh, well, I don't have to, you know, look cute no more. Because just like Phil said earlier, there's women that are 50 that look better than they did when they were back in high school because they have money now, so they can afford to get their hair done and get their nails done and all that. I mean, I myself, I could be like a little funky looking, you know. I was overweight, had a unibrow, messed up teeth, everything, the whole 9 yards, right? I'm just going to be perfectly honest with you. But then
right.
I said, okay, you know, but then over time I said, I'm not gonna keep myself like this. I know that as a woman, you know, have to step your game up. So I went out and got braces, got my hair done, started learning about makeup and clothes and stuff because I know that, you know, men are attracted to personalities, but at the same time, you can't sit there and be like, I mean, it takes a special type of man to fall in love with a woman's personality, but a man's not going to walk down the street and be like, oh, wow, she has a nice personality. It just doesn't work that way.
Is it true?
But
let me talk about my situation on any chick I've ever talked to. It's not like you said, it ain't no, wow, she looks like she's a great person, that she donated to charity. No, it was always, man, she look good. Let me see what she's talking about. Same, like, I'm sorry, that same way with my wife. I didn't know how great of a person she was. With men, it's us. It's going to be the look. We are visual. So my wife would say, wow, she's pretty. I like where she looks. Let me see what she's talking about. You know, like I tell people, you know, me and my wife, we met online. So, you know, that's all I went on at first is what she looked like. I didn't even see her in the street. Then as I got to know her, you know, and know her personality and stuff, and I say, wow, you know, that just, you know, a woman don't realize your personality going to enhance your beauty or take greatly away from it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of women don't know that. You know, you could have some of the nice-looking chicks just with a stank attitude and like, man, female, like, you just, well, you
right.
just turn your head. You know, it's like, you ain't all that. Like, come on.
It takes away from their beauty.
Exactly. I rather a chick that's halfway decent looking, has the best personality in the world, than some chick that's like every all dudes gawking over, but she got a nasty attitude. She can stay where she at.
And that's why a lot of them end up single, so it's kind of funny. But
no, go ahead, Gabriella.
I mean, it's funny that a lot of women that their whole self-esteem is based on their looks alone. You know, there's a lot of women who are just like, you know, they will turn every single guy's head in the street, but they don't have anything else to offer. And, you know, that's one thing that women need to pay attention to as well. You got to have, you know, if you really want a man, like, you can, any woman can get a man, but to get a man of quality,
no,
you have
she
to
can't
have a
either. No, she can't either. Don't lie. No, any woman can't get a man. That's a lie.
I agree with Gabriella. Any woman can get a guy. It may not be
a
man.
Well, not a man, but you can get a guy. Everybody can get somebody.
Too many people need pen pals and wives in the penitentiary. Any woman can get a husband.
Mm-hmm.
He may be locked up for 10 years, but she can get him.
Well, when you said a man, I'm thinking man in the traditional sense of what a man's supposed to be. Yeah, you can get a male.
Okay, well,
I agree with that.
You can get
somebody,
then. You can get someone.
Yeah.
You can get a male.
Yeah.
A male. Well.
Oh, yeah. Because not all these guys that run around are men. They're males. You need to, just like not all these women are women. They're females. That's why I say that term.
You got grown males and grown females that never grew up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, the problem that a lot of people have, we talking about the women with the self-esteem by their looks, they didn't have a father in their life to reassure them on their looks. Because I know I have daughters, and you have to tell your daughters, you look good, you look beautiful, you look nice. It takes the father to give them that confidence. A lot of these problems with these women is they didn't have a father figure in their life, so they go in the street looking for this father figure, and then their mama put this craziness in their head of what they need to get out of a man. So on top of looking for validation from a man that she didn't get from the father she was supposed to have in her life, then her mama pumping in her head all these expectations of stuff out of a man that she wish she can get, but she's not going to get. So then she just twist this girl head up. Now this girl go out and disrespect all this stuff and go be single just like her mama, single and broke. You ain't going to get a doggone thing. That's the 90% of the problem.
Yeah. And it starts early because I have three daughters, and my five-year-old came home from school one day, and she was crying. I said, what's wrong? She said, the little boy called me ugly. Am I ugly, Daddy? I said, baby, you are beautiful. If he told you you're ugly, it's probably because he don't like himself, or he likes you and don't know how to tell you how he likes you. But it's most likely because he don't like himself, and no one's telling him how much they love him and how beautiful he is. But you are beautiful. And it shocked me because a five-year-old, I wore glasses since the age of five, and I was always called four-eyed and fat, but it never really hit me like I saw it hit my daughter. And that really reaffirmed that girls have to be loved and reaffirmed every day that you love them and that they're special and that they're wonderful in order for them to grow up to well-rounded women.
Mm-hmm.
That I agree with. Now, Gabriella, I'm asking you a question because I got something to add to that. But, Gabriella, you having your father in your life, what's the difference between you and the women that you know that didn't have their father in their life?
It's like night and day, I'm going to be honest with you. This is different as night and day because having a father figure, and not even just having a man in the home, having a father has really given me an advantage. Like, not only do I have a father, but I also have, you know, other men who are older than me, even as friends, who are able to mentor me. So even if you don't have a father, you can still go out and find, somebody that you respect, such as, like, an older friend or an uncle or, you know, someone at church or something like that, a man that can really teach you about life and tell you, you know, help you, you know, to reassure you and to do all the things that a father can do. For me, I'm able to look at things from a different perspective because a lot of my friends, you know, either they were raised by their moms or their moms didn't have much success in relationships. And so they have their whole idea about men and dating is all twisted. And then with me, I have like whenever I'm having a problem with a guy, I have so many different resources that I can use, where I can ask my dad or I can ask a friend. I can ask, you know, I have so many people I can ask about advice. And then I also have them, you know, to tell me, you know, what really goes on and the way that men think. And, you know, how a man views a certain type of woman and kind of behaviors that I should stay away from and, you know, things like that, because a lot of women don't get that. They, you know, they take this advice from women that don't even understand men, and they don't know, you know, they don't know that, okay, well, if you sleep with a guy the first day you meet him, most likely something's going to, like, you know, he's not going to call you the next day. They don't know those things because they never had a man to,
That's usually how it is, though. Because, like I said, you know, you don't, you know, women need to realize, too, that you need to, you know, you validate yourself. You're more than your body. And, you know, if your father has to tell you that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, you know, fathers have to. And then on top of that, I'm going to tell you something else. I was talking to a lady the other day, and it, you know, she was telling me about her daughter, and her daughter, she's, you know, biracial. The mom's white and the dad's black. And her daughter was always being teased all the time about that she's ugly. She would catch it from black girls. She would definitely catch it from black girls. And then she would have sometimes white people tell her that she's black, that she's not white. That's why a lot of people, that's, you know, kids is biracial, they go through a whole lot. They really do. But I told her, I said the same thing. I said, you need to tell your husband to make sure that he reassures his daughter that she's beautiful and that he loves her, you know, and that's what you got to, you know, you have to do. I mean, because I told her it makes a big difference when a father does it versus the mother. It has more weight, I notice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, it's sad when these children don't have their father in their life. Just like the boys, they need their father in their life as well. Because it has an effect on them.
They won't be going around chasing after the wrong type of women, making the same mistakes. You know, if they have a father who's able to say, okay, well, this type of woman is good for one night, and this type of woman is good for a lifetime. Like, a lot of men, they don't know these things. They just think that, oh, okay, well, she looks good, and I kind of get along with her, so, you know, maybe this will work.
Yeah, you don't want to have to find out the hard way. You get what I'm saying? Because, you know, some women, like I said, are one-night stands, or some women are girlfriends and wives. And you got to know the difference. And not every woman you meet is, you know, wife material. And you got to know how to spot wife material. That's a lot of these guys' problem. They don't know how to spot decent women. Like, that's why I said earlier, the key is not to touch them. Because when you touch them, you cloud it. A lot of these guys these days are so thirsty. They just you know, fire crotch. They just gotta have it. They can't just get to know a woman for who she is, because women play on that too, and give it to you so they can BS you too. I mean, you don't know who these women are. You know, just like I saw a story the other day about the guys too. Don't know who these guys are. A guy got convicted here in Texas, giving a woman HIV. He got 15 years in jail. Just recently, he was begging her, you know, let's not use anything, let's, you know, not do anything, and, you know, I have nothing. The guy had HIV the whole time. I mean, it's sad. It's sad with some of the, and this guy was in his 40s, walking around with the package. So when I hear dudes talking about and women talking about the dating pool, I say, ooh, Lord, I don't envy none of y'all. Y'all can have it. Y'all can have it. Y'all really can have it. I don't know what to tell y'all about it, because the things I keep seeing in the news that people do and all this other stuff, it's just amazing. It's very amazing. But let me ask y'all a serious question, just as women. Can y'all spot when a guy's not good? That's what I'm always curious about.
Well, for the most part, to be completely honest, women can spot when a guy is no good, but a lot of times they'll overlook it anyway. Like, that's really the way it is. Like, a lot of times there'll be so many signs that either man's going to be abusive or he's going to be running around behind you know, chasing a bunch of things. But a lot of women have like this do-it-yourself type attitude. Like they look at men as a do-it-yourself project, and they think that they can change him. Like that saying goes, you know, a woman looks, you know, tries to change a man. I don't know where that goes, but you know what I mean. You know,
I know the saying you're talking about. A man gets with a woman, hopes she don't change. A woman gets with a man and hope he does change.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They'll think that, okay, well, if I try hard enough and I, you know, if I help him out, maybe he'll change. And that's one of the biggest reasons why there's so many problems in the black community. Like, a lot of black women will get into relationships thinking that, you know, they can somehow change, you know, someone who isn't a relationship type into a husband, and it just doesn't work. I mean, it is possible for someone who is really tired of running around on women. You know, sometimes they do get tired of it, but if they're in that stage and sometimes they don't want to get out of it, and they never do, there's nothing that you can do to change them. And if it's just some no-good thug or something whose only goal in life is to be to be some middleman drug dealer, there's nothing you can do to change that.
But yet, you know, but see, go ahead, sister. Go ahead.
No, that was it.
No. The other sister was speaking. I interrupted her.
Okay, never mind.
Oh, were you talking about me?
Yeah, I thought you were saying something.
Oh, well, I know for me, generally I can tell pretty early on. I think the key with a lot of it is making your decisions relatively early, because a lot of times what happens is women tend to make excuses for a guy and think, well, you know, or especially if a guy says, well, you know, I know I'm rough around the edges, but, you know, I just need a good woman by my side to help me to pull my thing together and all of that. And if a woman falls for that, she's in trouble. But really, if you go into it and with your eyes open and you say right off, you know, early on, this either is or isn't something I can deal with, then it's okay. But at the same time, if you let time pass a little bit and then, you know, you end up sleeping with somebody as a woman and then your feelings get involved, at that point all the rules change. Because then all of a sudden, if he doesn't have much, that's the excuse for you to, you know, well, she's breaking up with me because I don't have any money. I'm struggling right now. When I'm down, you don't want to be with me. You know, I just need someone to be there. And why would you do this to me? And that kind of thing. But I think that most of the time women know.
I don't know. When I was, after I was going through that divorce and all the stuff I was dealing with, I ain't had no furniture in my house. You get what I'm saying? Like, and when I was at that point, I had no furniture in my house and all this, because I had to start over. I mean, that situation stripped me of everything. I had to start completely over, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to talk to no chicks. Matter of fact, chicks would talk to me and say, I'd like to come to your house. I said, no. I said, I can't do that. I can't invite you to my house. I said, due to my situation, I just can't. I said, I got a place to stay. Don't get me wrong. I'll sleep on the
air. But your motivation was different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I had an air. I said I'll sleep on the air mattress for 6 months. You know, at that time period, and I was eating on the floor and all that for 6 months. So, you know, I had my own place though. I wasn't staying in nobody's house. I refused to stay in anybody's house. I can't stand staying with somebody. I'll sleep on the floor before I stay in somebody's house. Okay, but yeah, and then after I got furniture or whatever, then I would invite somebody to my house. But I didn't want to go chill at her house. Because I didn't want her, because you go chill at some other woman's house, and you're like, oh, let's go to your house. I'm like, no, I just didn't do it.
And that's actually one of the telltale signs is if, for whatever reason, if you meet a person, be it male or female, and they always put you in a position to where they need you to do something for them, then there's something wrong. And I don't care if it's, do you mind bringing me a plate? Are you cooking? Or can you pick me up and take me? Or do you mind if I wash my clothes at your house? Or, well, can I do, if every time you talk to a person, they're always asking for something or need help, then there's a problem.
That turns me off. I can't deal with somebody like that. If you start asking me stuff, I'm like, dog, man, what you were doing before I came along? You know, it's like, don't ask, the worst thing, don't ask me for money. Don't ever ask me for money. If you want me not to stop talking to you, don't ask me for money. I'm short on my cell phone bill this month. you know, and we talking and stuff, and I, you know, I enjoy our conversation. Just until I get paid, can I borrow a cell phone bill money? I'm like, what would you do if you didn't know me? How would you pay it?
Oh, yeah.
Don't ask me for no money. I ain't your man like that. I don't ask you for no money for me. That's what get people in trouble, all that borrowing money. Because to me, like, shoot, I ain't about to pay no cell phone bill for you to talk to some other dude. Because no half of these females talking to three or four dudes, they had a thing talking about that the other day. If this chick texting on the phone with you, she's texting with about five other dudes, too. So, like, you know, forget that.
Okay. So, you guys, you know, y'all are here, and this is my opportunity to ask. I'm going to tell you, what I don't get is women, men fall for that. I see women that will say stuff like, they'll say right off the bat, that, oh, I'm not going to date a guy unless he's paying a bill. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, right. Some guy's going to go for it. And dudes will do it. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me.
They stupid. Are you talking about the guys that do it?
Exactly. A guy that will sit there and pay a woman's bill. I don't
stupid.
Get that.
Stupid. It's nothing to get because of stupidity.
Why are they doing it?
You want to know why they're doing
it? Well, some guys do it because they buying that woman. They don't want a relationship with her. They just want to purchase her when they need her.
Exactly. Now, half of the reason why they do it is because they've been trained all their life just to give women this, give women that from their mama. And they had their father to say, you don't give no woman everything. Oh, no, you don't. Like, well, what does she do for you to make you give it to her? And don't say sex, because they got too many chicks out here giving that up for free. So why are you paying for it? I mean, if you go get you an escort and pay that much money for it, get you a high dollar one that, or something that look good, that's surgically enhanced and all. I mean, if you're going to pay for it, that's what I say. But half of these dudes, they're tricking to these chicks, light bill, like I said, cell phone bill, tricking these chicks, car note, rent. I'm like, for what? Yeah, they got chicks. They had a chick tell me one time, she had dudes to pay every bill in her house. She had to pay crap. A dude to pay cell phone, a dude to pay car note, rent, light. She had to pay nothing but just pay her food.
But see, they make it sound glamorous, but the fact is, it's cheaper than an escort. An escort is going to charge a lot, but your phone bill is probably $50 to $100. Your rent
I don't know
probably
phone bill you got.
$200 because you got Section 8. So they dropping little bitty buckets, little bitty pennies in a bucket that looks big to you because you don't have a job. It looks big to that woman on the county, but this guy's getting paid $15 to $2,000 every 2 weeks. So spending $100 and $200 for a night of sex with this woman that's going to guarantee him more nights of sex for free, it's a drop in the bucket. But they think they're winning, but in turn, they just prostitutes that's not on the corner.
That's right. That's the truth. They prostitutes that's not on the track. I get you. And a lot of these women don't realize that they tricks. A lot of them, you tell them, man, you know you're tricking, right? Don't be disrespecting me like you are. If you're sleeping with a guy for a light bill, you're tricking for a light bill. I mean, call it what it is. And really,
the prostitute more.
You know, it's a win-win situation for them because they get pleasure out of it and they get a bill paid.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
What I don't understand is why would anyone want their life dependent on the whims of someone else? What if he just feels like, I don't feel like paying a bill today, this month? Then what? You don't get your rent paid this month, and now what are you going to do? You know, it's like, why would you, anyone? I would hate to think that whether I have a roof over my head or a car to drive is dependent on if this guy feels like he wants to pay it. Or
well, I guess
decides, I'm tired of you, move on to the next one. Now I got to figure something out.
Oh, trust me, she can find another one because they're simp for manginas lining up for. Trust me, that's all she got to say is, I'll give you some. That's it. I mean, she's putting in a little work, you know, in the bedroom. That's it. Her bill paid for the month. It's really not that hard on her to anything. She can be lazy all she wants. She can even have another guy put money in her pocket. It doesn't matter as long as she do her job. She good.
Sister, I like to tell you, if you can't imagine how they could do that type of thing, I'll tell you like I tell my wife. If you can't imagine it, you need to thank God that you can't imagine it, because that means you're not that type of person. Because if you could imagine it, that means you would be just like them.
I couldn't do it, but that's just me. Like, I would feel dirty
you know, having all these different guys coming over here. And then the thing is, like, I've noticed that a lot of women go after that thing thinking that it's glamorous. It's like, oh, I don't have to work. All I got to do is just, you know, it may take, like, maybe, like, 1 hour a day, and I'm good. I got my bills paid. All I got to do is, like, you know, text some boy, text the man, get him to come over here, hit it real quick, go home, and then I got $600. And they don't even feel like they have to work for it. But
I would be offended. I would be personally offended if a man thought that he could come to me and offer. Number one, what do you mean? You think I can't take care of myself? Is that what you're telling me? This is all you think I'm worth is $600 or a few hundred. I would be personally offended. This is what you think of me. No. Mm-mm.
Most of them ain't worth that $600.
That's funny. That's funny. That's real funny.
Well, it's true. I mean, honestly, when it really does come down to sex, it's not worth money. Because you can go out and get anybody. You can go to the club and meet some girl and do it in the parking lot for free. So, I mean, that's disgusting, but people do it. So, there's nothing really special about it. You know, it's the way that people are throwing it around these days. So, really, I mean, that cold game probably isn't going to last too much longer because, I mean, a man that's smart isn't going to sit there and waste his money on that. I mean, I know there are some who are stupid enough to do it, but then, you know, it really isn't worth it. Like, why would you waste $600 or, you know, $800 in somebody's apartment and paying their car and stuff when you can get it for free? That just doesn't make any sense for me. And a lot of these girls, they're some of the most annoying. Like, I know some people, you know, on an acquaintance level, and these are some of the most annoying people I can ever speak to. Like, whenever they open their mouth, it just makes me just want to scream because the stuff that they have to say is just so stupid. And they'll have, like, this feminist attitude, like, oh, yeah, I'm getting back at men by taking money from him. And, you know, I'm really, you know, I'm taking a stand for the women. I'm, you know, I'm asserting my sexuality and I'm using my body the way it's supposed to be used and I'm doing all this. And they really think they're doing something.
Hold on. Did you just say the girl say I'm using my body the way it's supposed to be used? Did you just say that?
She did.
That's the way they make it seem. They're like, oh, yeah.
No. Did she say that?
They didn't say it, but they might as well.
Okay, because that's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. So a woman's body is supposed to be just ran through by men. She's supposed to be just a semen bucket. That's what she's supposed to be?
Hmm.
Well, that's how they act. I mean, you might as well stand on your forehead.
Well, you've seen half of the videos I've been putting up on that Ratchet Video Weekly. I can believe it. Oh, God.
Like Sugar Free say, you're doing this because your uncle or your daddy touched you. And a lot of that goes back to some sort of sexual mistreatment that happened at a young age that distorts these people's, I won't call them women, but these females' views of their body and how their body should be treated.
That's true. A lot of women, you know, it's a lot of issues in the...
That's one stigma that I really can't stand, though, because not every single woman who was molested or touched on as a child ends up being a prostitute.
No, they don't. They don't.
So that is one stigma that I really wish would go away. The fact that you were molested has nothing to do with your choices. Those are choices that you made, you know. If you choose to sleep with every single guy that says hello to you, that has nothing to do with the fact that you were molested. That was your personal choice. You can't say, oh, well, I was molested and I don't view my body as special, so I go out and I do that. That's just an excuse. And then they make it, that's why so many women, I know it's off topic, that's why so many people are afraid to come up and say that something happened to them because there's that negative stigma there. It's almost like something that people laugh at nowadays. It's like, oh, ha, ha, look at what happened to you. You know, you're probably going to end up being some type of pervert or you're going to be crazy.
I don't know. I think a lot of times we get these women to be, you know, and usually it's the chicks with looks that a lot of times, you know, would suffer this a whole lot more. Is that once they realize they can get guys to do, you know, what they want due to them just be looking good, they take advantage of that. You know what I'm saying? And 9 times out of 10, if any guy that's smart, now I'm going to talk like a dude here for a minute, most of your chicks that actually look that good, that they're so pretty, sexually, they're horrible. They're horrible because they, what's the word I'm using? They're getting so used to being done that they can't give back. And I'm trying not to say it another way. Yeah, you laughing, you know what I'm talking about. It's true, man. It's like them chicks that's just like that, they're so superficial, it's like you can't stand them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because
I can't say nothing because you're telling the truth.
I mean, that kind of lifestyle does actually eat away at someone. It does eat away at your soul in a way, because, you know, people think that, oh, well, the adult industry is so glamorous, but it actually does, like, having people do all these things to you does actually hurt you. You know, it does affect your mental state. And even if they're not in the adult entertainment industry, like, if they're just doing this, you know, apartment hoeing, I guess, you know, you're trying to, that really affects your brain. Like, it doesn't, it makes you unhealthy. And some of the stuff, like, the conversations I have with some of these women, it really, like, it really seems like they got a couple of screws loose half the time. I'm not going to say not all, because some people, you know, they can handle it, but not everybody can. And the people that's not really what they're meant to do, it really does mess them up.
Well, you know, but beyond which, not everybody in the adult entertainment industry is on a certain tip like people think they are. Because the times that I even had, you know, one on my show one time, and you wouldn't even think she did anything like that. The way she would talk, the way she came across. She even told me before she came on the show that, you know, are you going to ask, like, questions, like, about the industry, or are you going to ask about positions? I don't want to discuss that. And, like, so, you know, you see them doing that stuff on camera, but they really totally different. You know, and then I definitely got some.
That's why I said not all. Like, that's why I was, I kind of backtracked and said not all, because, you know, some people are able to separate work from work, you know, from work from home, and they're able to compartmentalize different parts of their lives, but some people can't. And that whole, you know, their sexuality becomes their identity. And that's
this is what I don't get. Now, there are people in the adult entertainment industry that's married. They're married. And they go, and that's what they do for a living. And their wife or their husband is cool with that, because they say to them, they look at it as a job. But, you know, like I said, the 401 I had gotten in the adult entertainment industry versus how I was described was the difference between movie sex and relationship sex. From what I was told, it's no enjoyment in what they do in porn. It's actually just, you know, for show. Mm-hmm. All that mess for show is actually, they said they actually sex in, you know, outside of that mess, you know, so
I was told the same thing by someone in the industry.
Yeah, you know, the female told me.
I mean, for the most part, I mean, there are some exhibitionists who actually do get off on stuff like that, but for the most part, they kind of black out and just be like, okay, let me just do what I got to do and get out of here. They don't really think of it as, oh, I'm having fun. I'm really enjoying myself. I mean, you know, half the time, they even have voice actors to make the sounds for the women.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And it's all the airbrushing and the lighting and the, you know, sometimes, like, if you can catch them, like, change the camera angle real quick because someone has to take a break to throw up because they were so disgusted. Like, you know, it's like the dudes, too,
in the industry. Like, once I find out what they do with the dudes, I'm like, you better off.
Yeah, the fluffy.
Yeah, like, well, that, but also, like, I was told, you know, by somebody in the industry, and they're still active in it, that they make the dudes take Viagra, they make the dudes wear desensitizing cream. I can't enjoy that, no desensitizing cream, so now you got me drugged up, and I can't feel nothing either. Oh, hell
no. I know a
couple
that they're both in the industry, and before I moved to the Valley of Southern California, I stayed in the heart of Hollywood, and my neighbors were in the industry, and it's just one night I was over there, we were hanging out, and I just asked his wife what's wrong, because she looked just really down and depressed, and she's usually happy and bubbly. I was like, hey, what's wrong with you? You know, joking around. I didn't think she was going to actually tell me. She said, I'm in so much pain. I did about four or five shoots today with these guys, and one of the scenes was a gangbang scene. And I am just in so much pain right now. It's just, it's worse than a real job sometimes. And I just, it struck me, because it never struck me as not being pleasurable, but it really isn't. And as they talked more about it, as our relationship grew, they said it's like 100 people on set. You're not enjoying it. It's 100 people screaming out directions and taking pictures and snapping, and another group of people preparing for their scene on the same bed. They're going to change the sheet. So it's really an entertainment feel. It's entertainment. It's very few people who actually look at it as, oh, yeah, I love this. You know, they may say that at the expos, but when they're at home, you know, they just like anybody else that's been in a long day at work. They tired.
Well, I know this, you know, like I say, this person in particular that told me, like, she told me the ins and outs of it. You know, she was even saying she was trying to get out of it. She said, but it's just kind of hard to find a job paying that much, because she said that, you know, you can make anywhere from, you know, $600 to $2,000 a scene. And she said she makes, you know, kind of top dollars. So it's kind of hard to, she said she can do one or two scenes a month and pay all her bills. So it's kind of like the trade-off. You know, it's like what job, she said it's hard to find a job that you can just do. And this, you know, this lady has a, you know, she has a degree. And, but she said that, you know, she said she was trying to get, look into the, you know, production aspect. I said, well, if you want to stay in the industry, maybe you don't want to be acting in it. I said, maybe you should produce it. I said, that way, you know,
right,
the producers make more money anyway than the particular actors and actresses, you know. But I said, that way also you protect your health as well. I mean, yeah, you test it once a month, but sure,
right,
somebody can give you something the next day. Don't mean nothing. You test it.
Just because it tested don't mean it's not going to come up later.
Exactly. You know, I mean, so, I mean, like I said, the person I talked to, like I said, you couldn't even tell where they talked that they was even in into that. You would not know. Even the way they address, you wouldn't know. That's what throw you off. Most people think those kind of people in the industry all dressing all scantily. No, they don't.
No.
They're regular people, too.
They're normal,
you know,
people, yeah. A lot of them don't want to be recognized on the street, because a lot of them, you know, they be taking their kids to school, and they don't want to be recognized, so they dress down.
And shoot, they don't want stalkers either, because, shoot, I mean, what they do, they draw a sick breed of people sometimes. It's not like,
right,
you know, you got some adults that can look at that, see what it is, and leave it alone. But they got people that get obsessed with them and want to see where they're at. And, you know, like this one person told me about that she had to call the police on one. Because the one I had on my show, actually, Bella Vendetta, she told me she actually had to call the police because some guy showed up at her house.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can listen to the interviews on my page I had with her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, it's something. And then my thing is, they're regular people, too, and they want to be married,
right,
too. They want, a lot of them want marriages. A lot of them do. They want kids. They want a normal life. And it's like, my thing is like, how can you expect that if a guy finds that out? And the killing part about the internet is like, you could be found out.
Right. I forget the guy. You know, I think about the kids. The couple I knew, they didn't have any kids, but I think about how, you know, they break that to their kids, because, you know, kids know about internet as early as elementary.
Yeah, they introduce it to them. They all giving them iPads now in all these schools. So they don't know any reason. They know it through iPads.
Yeah.
Somebody, it's easier to give them an iPad than have a textbook.
Right.
That's amazing. These people.
And the thing is that there's always going to be that, I mean, the way that the world works is that there's always going to be that stigma there. I mean, there's people that are open-minded, but for people who try to start a family with someone or the kids and things like that, there's going to be a stigma there. And so sometimes, you know, you have to take all these things into account too. Like, I know it's fast money, but then it really depends on what you're looking for in life. You know, not everybody wants
right.
the marriage. You know, it's like some people just say, I'm fine with being single my whole life, and that's fine. But then you know, there's always going to be that thing there where it's like, oh, well, you know, I know that your mom, like I was, you know, like what if some teenage boy came over to somebody's house and the mom was in the kitchen making cookies and she was like, wait, isn't that so-and-so from that movie I was watching last
Janet Jackson, oh my God.
You know, and then he's going to run home, tell his mama, and then the mom's going to say, I don't want you hang going around that house no more. And, you know, there's that stigma there. And, you know, that's how it's always been even in history, you know. So it really depends on the circumstances. But, I'm not going to say that I think I'm going to knock somebody for what they do. But at the same time, you know, not everybody is open-minded. So it's pretty hard to, I mean, it's not as easy as people try to make it seem. You know, it's just like any other job. Like everybody, like, you know, like the brother said, like, you know, it's no different from, I'm not going to say it's no different from an office job, but it's stress, you got constant pressure, you have this, you have that. You know, it's not just, oh, well, I'm just going to make fast money and I'm going to be able to live it up and enjoy myself. You know, sometimes it takes a lot.
And a lot of times those girls on drugs when they doing those scenes just so they can get through. A lot of them they escort. Also, a few have been killed by, you know, escorting. You know, I mean, because they just don't do that. They also escort too. A lot of them. You know, they can't always make their money doing that.
Not everybody is going to be able to make it to the big time either. You know, and that's the thing. Because a lot of women, like, I know some people, not personally, but I know some women that I've networked with before, and, you know, they really think they're doing something by doing a $300 scene here and there. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm a porn star now. I'm like, no, you're not. Because
right. Doing hotel shows.
Yeah, hotel shows. Not even $100, maybe $150. You know, even if they are making $1,000, they're doing the really cheap stuff that's in the way, way deep, dark corners of the internet that nobody's even going to go to. So you're not going to really make any money there. And those kind of gigs are few and far between. And even in those are the most risky, you know.
They do. Like, I mean, if they want to do that, I mean, this is what I found out. If you want to do that stuff without actually doing anything, I guess you can cam, I guess. A lot of women cam. A lot of porn stars cam and whatever. In other words, you doing all kind of little camera shows for these perverts
right.
to pay. And that's what a lot of, you know, I didn't know they did that, but they also do that, you know.
Well, that industry, believe it or not, and I'll just say this and leave it alone, the pimps have left the streets and got laptops.
That's right.
Rooms with a lot of different cameras and video cameras. It's a lot of those pay $2 and watch this girl is being organized by some pimp.
Yeah, pimps on Craigslist.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yes. Oh, boy. That's a lifestyle that I just couldn't, you know. Like I said, once I heard, my thing is, you know, most guys like, yeah, I wish I could do that for a living. But once I heard what they do to the dudes, like, what's the point? So I was told that really the best porn is amateur because they don't do all that. You know, it's just,
right.
It is what it is.
Soft porn.
Then it's not safe, though.
Well, amateur... Is what?
I mean, well, it depends on. Well, it depends. I mean, amateur.
Well, amateur. Amateur is just is amateur. It's not professional.
People, I mean, the stuff that people record in their house. I mean, what
that's considered amateur.
Like, that's different. That's fine, but
yeah, that's considered amateur.
Fetish porn would be fetish porn, foot fetish porn, food fetish porn. You know, that would be the safest porn where you have a woman solo. And she's showing her feet, or she's taking a shower, or she's putting ketchup on her feet. You know, that would be the safest porn they have out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's crazy. Somebody actually
it is crazy. Yeah,
watch,
well, I mean, that's strange, but some people like that sort of thing. So it's not as risky because you're not gonna nothing's gonna happen to your feet by putting ketchup on it. But you know. The kind of people, like the kind of people that I know who have been doing the little hotel shows, that's when, you know, things just get out of hand. They'll be like, oh, well, I made $300 by doing this stuff in a hotel, and, like, none of the people were tested. It wasn't safe. They recorded it using somebody's cell phone, and they edited it with those movie makers.
And now he's on World Star.
Yeah, go put him on World Star, idiot. Everybody want to be on World Star. I don't even, like I say, my website startup, I don't even want none of that stuff on mine. No, I don't want no trains rolled on my site. I know it draws hits, but nah, it's okay. I don't need it. Yeah, so, I don't know. People crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But, so we're getting down to the last 5 minutes, baby, of the show. I didn't, it went by pretty quick, that 2 hours.
It was a good show.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
Always a good show.
Get back. Now, brother, before I go, I'm going to have to get a chance to listen to your show because I'll be so busy sometime. I'm going to check your show out. Is that going okay for you?
You know what it is? I'm learning the kinks. Like I told you, my first show, I did the whole show on mute. So,
it happened.
Yeah, but my last two shows, I felt good about them. And I'm just, you know, trying to follow in your footsteps. You inspired me to do it, you know. And I tell you, it's just, I'm enjoying it.
And plus, you ain't got to worry about the BS you have on that YouTube either. Because you do what you want. You ain't got to worry about, you know, the like I said, the idiot stuff. You know what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, man. YouTube has become commercialized. I've been watching your last two shows. YouTube, how Google ruined YouTube, and you right on the money.
Yeah, it really has in a lot of ways. You know, ruined, you know, YouTube and what it used to be. And, you know, like I said, all that stuff that go along with it, but it is what it is. Like I said, I'm going to continue to do YouTube. I'm not going to stop.
Right.
You know? Like I said, I'm going to, you know, once my site get up, like I said, my, you know, brother man, he working on it for me. And that way I can post whatever I want on my site, and ain't nobody can tell me what I cannot post. You know,
exactly.
You know, that's the beauty of it. You want to, you know, have your own stuff, and you know, your brother's already talking about being in business and having this and having that, but you know, you don't do it. You know,
right.
Yeah, brother. I see what you say use Daily Motion. No, I don't. You know, want to fool with Daily Motion. I really don't. I mean, I'm kind of established where I'm at. You know, and I'm in a network. You know, also, so that's kind of why I stay. It's a little different when you're in the network versus standing alone, so that's kind of why.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And that's actually my next show on the 15th is talking about the difference between the pros and cons of getting a job or starting your own business, because I really think we see now we can't rely on another person to feed our families. You know, because we may go there and that person renege on the promise. Because working is just a promise that you're going to do something for someone that's promising to pay you later. And we see now with these big companies going under, you can't rely on another person's promise. You got to feed your own family.
Exactly. And my mind, like I said, I'm just extremely ambitious. I'm the type that I say I can't make $1 million working for somebody else. Like I do good in my career. I don't have to do anything. I don't look at YouTube as no career. Oh, I'm not
right.
Looking on there for no money. I do good in my career, thank God. I mean, I work very hard to get to where I'm at. But, you know, with that said, that helps me to take a step out and start doing more, you know, for myself and trying to become, you know, a CEO of my own stuff.
Right.
You know, that way
exactly.
I ain't got to worry. They can shut YouTube. Once I get my junk going, they can shut YouTube down tomorrow. I got mine. You know,
exactly.
That's kind of how I want to, you know, look at it. Business ownership. That's right.
Because you have a strong brand. You have a strong brand, and it's going to be successful.
Well, you know, brother, I'm not on it for all that. I'm just doing me, like I said, trying to help other brothers and sisters, you know, get, you know, come along as well. I'm not on that. I want to be the only one. Like, what's the point of doing stuff if you don't take other people with you? It's just stupid.
Exactly.
And that's why we in the black community never get ahead, because you got individuals who try to kick other black people down. Well, they stay up, but no, that's not the right way. Every other community take their people with them. Their grandmama, their brother-in-law. I've watched them all do it. We the only one that don't do it. So,
yeah,
you know,
we keep going
this,
up the ladder without throwing the rope back.
Yeah, that's exactly what we do. And we got to take our people up. And anybody that's not doing that, we excommunicate them and marginalize them. But with that said, appreciate everybody listening to the show or who will listen to the show. And we'll be back next week, you know, for another show, another topic. And you can, Miss Gabriella, before I go, you got any contact information for anybody that you want to put out there?
I don't have anything immediately, but what I will do is I'll get with Phil, and we'll be able to put that information on the fan page so that you can just click on it and go.
Okay.
Find the Facebook divorce.
Okay, cool. Well, as for me, you can find me on The Advice Show TV on YouTube, and also subscribe to my new YouTube channel, which I got going, and which the new Ratchet Video Weekly will be. It's called Ratchet Video Weekly. Since everybody loves the Ratchet videos, it has its own channel. Now, I'm going to put up the video itself on Friday, directing everybody to go see episode 6. It's funny. I found some funny videos. Trust me. That's what Ratchet Video Weekly is about. Ghetto videos, that's funny. So also you can follow me on Twitter, The Advice Show, and my fan page, The Advice Show, as well. So until next week, everybody stay blessed, and, take care of your family, be easy, and thank you for joining the show.
Thank you for a good show.